Now, we started the carols, but I still want to keep going this morning at least with Jonah. So we've been 5 or 6 weeks in the very first chapter of the book of Jonah. And today I want to come back to it. And my text is in verse 5 and also verse 13. So Jonah chapter 1 verse 5 says, "All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God." And then this is the bit I'm interested in. "And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship." And then in verse 13, "The men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before." Now, I better rewind a bit and explain what it is we're doing as we are looking at this chapter. We are thinking about the storms of life. So all of us know stormy periods in our lives. And all of us are living through a particularly stormy period with COVID and all that's happened over these recent months. We are drawing a parallel with our storms and the storm that Jonah experiences here. And just as there was a purpose in the storm that Jonah experienced, I've been saying there's a purpose in the storms we experience. Now, there'll be many purposes that we don't see and don't understand. But whatever we don't understand, there are certain things we can, I think. God sent the storm to Jonah to wake him up spiritually. So God sends storms to us to wake us up spiritually. And so one of the big things that the storms of our lives are meant to accomplish, and one of the big things COVID as a storm is meant to have accomplished in our lives, is that it wakes us up to some realities. Wakes us up to some... So we've been seeing Jonah here on the run from God, and we've been seeing Jonah not listening to God, and we've seen this storm, how it shakes him and wakes him up to God and to his need to put things right with God. So we're seeing ourselves in Jonah then. That's the big idea. Now, today I want to focus on these sailors. Now they're on the ship, they're the guys running the thing, and Jonah is a passenger on this ship. But they're all caught up in the storm. And I'm interested in what's going on in the lives of these sailors, these mariners. And I'm interested in them because I think they have a number of instincts that we all have. So when you're in the storm, there's certain things we reach for, certain things that we try to do. We thought about this last week. We saw that in verse 5, the first thing these sailors do is reach for their gods. And so last week we thought about how we do that and our idols and the things that we hope will save us, but which will not. So that's one instinct that we see in these sailors. But there are others. And so today I want to come back to this idea, and I want to think about another instinct, which is in these sailors. They illustrated for us, but it's also in us, in every single one of us. So these sailors, they try to sort it out themselves. Now that's the instinct that I wanted to think about today. Here they are in the storm, and they're way out of their depth. But they're reaching for their gods. That's one thing they do in verse 5. But that's not all they do. Also in verse 5, we see them trying to sort it out. They throw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship, trying to sort things out for themselves. And then later, verse 13, they try to row to shore to force their way back to safety. And I'm suggesting to you that this is really an instinct that they had and that we have. You know, so you could have been coming to church, or God's been speaking to you, and you're beginning to think about life and the storms of life, and you begin how you relate to God and your sins and what's going to happen when you die and whether you're going to go to heaven or what help you can get through this particular time of struggle. So you're beginning to be awakened. But what I'm suggesting to you today is that as that happens, an instinct will kick in. And I'm going to suggest it's a very dangerous instinct. And the instinct is to try and sort it out yourself. Just like these sailors, you'll clear the decks. Try and lighten the load so you can get through the storm. Or just like these sailors, you'll try to row for shore. And you'll double down on the effort to try and get yourself to safety. You'll try, just like these sailors, to sort it out yourself. And then my point this morning is that that's a distraction, and we need to see this instinct and we need to resist it. So that's where I want to go this morning. So let's hold up this idea that you and I, when we have a sense of being in trouble, spiritually being in trouble, thinking about God, thinking about eternity, that we got this instinct to sort it out ourselves, to clear the decks, to row for shore. Let's hold that up. Let's think about it. Now, first thing I want to say is that is very, very natural. It really is an instinct. And human beings, well, we're amazing things, aren't we? We have incredible weaknesses, but also incredible strengths. And remarkable resilience often. I mean, not always, but I don't know about you, but I've often been astonished to meet people in some really difficult situation, really struggling, really in trouble, and you're talking to them, you're with them, you're trying to help them in some way, and you wonder how they're going to cope, and maybe suddenly they'll say, people have said this to me, but I am strong. And it's an amazing thing. They can be under, really at the end of their tether, and then somewhere from within they find this resilience and this resolve, and they get up again. They get knocked down, but they get up again. It's an amazing thing. You as a human being, you're an amazing thing. And I think that's evidence that the Bible's true, that we really are made in the image of God, and that we have a spark of the divine within us. And that's where this incredible leftover, despite our sin, despite the fall, that's where this resilience comes from. So we do have this instinct. It's natural. So the storms come and we're afraid like these sailors. We panic a bit. We reach for our gods. But that's not all we do. Often we come back with a plan. Often we find a way ahead. So that's what these sailors are doing, scared to death, crying out to their gods. But then they think, we've got to do something. And so they get organized and they clear the decks, they abandon the cargo. And later on in verse 13, they make a supreme effort to row drills. I've got to look it up though. Improvise, adapt, overcome. Now that's the human spirit. So this instinct we've got is very, very natural. Now, that's the first thing then. It's there. It's wonderful. A second thing, though, I want to point out, is there a method to sort it out ourselves? You know, this is a story, of course, of people on a ship. And in their boat, they're in a literal storm, and so they do literal things to their boat in order to try and get ashore. Now, we're using it as a picture, so we're not in a boat, so there's no point in doing literally what they do. But I can think, and I'm sure you can think, of ways that we do the same thing, ways that we try to sort out our lives, make things right, and put things right with God, perhaps, or certainly with ourselves or with other people. You know, we do stuff that we think will save us, something we think will help us. So let's think about a few of the ways, a few of the things we try, and let me try a few different levels. You know, maybe just at the lowest level, we just try to streamline a bit. You know, maybe in our lives we feel in trouble and we feel everything's got too much for us. So we do an inventory of our lives. We look around and we say, you know, I'm not coping at the moment. There's too much going on. Well, look, this could go. And we identify something in our lives, something that we enjoy maybe, or some responsibility that we've taken on. But we've realized it's weighing us down. It's dragging us down. It's difficult. And so in the storm, as we find some resilience and we try, well, I've got to do something here. We identify that and we say, look, I'm not doing that anymore. And we throw it overboard. And there can be a lot of wisdom in that. You know, we all tend to get overloaded in life, don't we? Take on too much. We have this fear of missing out. And so we want to do as much as we can and enjoy as much as we can. So there's one sort of a low-level way whereby we try to cope with our storms. We just streamline our lives a bit, jettison some of the cargo, just so life's a bit lighter. We've got a little bit less to do, a little bit less pressure, and we're hoping that being a little bit lighter, we can cut through this storm a little bit better. And I guess there are certain storms, low-level storms, where that does help. Or let's go to a higher level or a deeper level, however you want to describe it. If the storm's a bit bigger, or if jettisoning a few things doesn't work, streamlining doesn't work, maybe we go deeper and we try some sort of major reform. Maybe we recognize that the storm we're experiencing is actually quite a big life issue. There are many of us in that situation, aren't there, where, you know, we're not just fighting the ordinary storms of circumstance or the ordinary fears and anxieties of life, but we've got ourselves entangled into something. Maybe there's a compulsion in our lives, and really it's got control of us. Maybe it's not just a compulsion, maybe it's a full-on addiction. Maybe there's something that we're doing, and we just have to do it. And you know, we know that it's not good and we feel terrible afterwards, but somehow we keep going back to it. Somehow it's got us in its grip. It could be all sorts of things. It could be the obvious ones, alcohol, drugs, pornography. It could be the more subtle ones, shopping, TV, social media. You know, we're maxing out the credit card far too often because we feel better when we buy stuff. Or we're losing ourselves night after night, hour after hour, in the labyrinth of our Instagram feed or our Facebook feed or our Twitter feed, and we're just lost in this world, and it's our go-to thing, and it's dragging us down, which it does tend to do. And whatever it is, you fill in the blank. You've identified not just an ordinary storm, but a bigger life issue. Some compulsion, some addiction, something that's really dragging us under. And what we say then is, look, this can't go on. You know, we identify it. We say, I'm going under here. Come it. Maybe we have to go to rehab. Maybe we take some counseling. Maybe we just unsign from the accounts or hand in our credit card. You know, whatever it is. But you take some drastic action just to try and reform your life and deal with this particular issue that is destabilizing you and in the storm is dragging you down. Or maybe we could go to some of the ultimate deep levels. Sometimes as we think about our lives and we think about our unhappiness and we think about the storm that we're in, we say, well, it's not just about streamlining and chucking a few things overboard. And it's not even just trying to get rid of perhaps a big issue in my life. Maybe we come to the point where we say, actually, the problem is the whole of my life. Maybe you come there. You ever been there? And you have a moment of realization when you think, actually, I need to start again. I need major life change. I'm still talking about here the things we try to do to fix things. So I haven't started talking about the gospel yet. I'm talking about us and our instinct to fix ourselves and to put things right. And I'm talking about that this can get pretty big And we can start to think, do you know what? I've got to make some major life changes. So we think, I've got to change where we are, where I am. And I've got to change the people in my life. You know, big, major change. Maybe then we just say that's a new house or a new job. Or maybe we say it's a divorce or it's marriage or I need to emigrate. You know, we think something big is required, a whole life change. Or, I mean, there are new options that our culture offers us these days that are very deep and very profound. We completely reinvent ourselves. There are some drastic ways to do this in terms of our sexuality or our gender. And what's so interesting about this, it's all over the media, isn't it? People changing their lives at that deep, deep level. What's so interesting is that this is so often presented as a salvation, as something that is going to fix us, as something that will solve everything. Just one example. Well, it's getting on for 2 years ago now, isn't it? When Philip Schofield came out on national TV one morning. And he'd been married for 27 years, two daughters, and revealed that he was gay. And the response to that was very interesting. And I noticed one particular response by John Barrowman, another celebrity. And what he said was, "You're well done, congratulations." But this is the phrase I want to draw your attention to. He says, "Welcome to your true, authentic self." You see, before he'd been living a lie, married, two children. Now he had become who he really was. Now, my point here is just to point out the way this change is being presented. It's being presented as a salvation. It's being presented as becoming the real you. It's being presented as something which is going to solve some deep problems in our lives. Now, there's tons more to be said about that. We'll have to save it for another occasion. But I'm simply using that as an illustration of how sometimes we can come to the decision that deep things have to change. Major things about us have to be made new. Okay, now I've said two things so far. We're talking about this instinct we have, like the sailors, to fix everything, to take it upon ourselves, to sort all this out. And we've said that's natural, that was the first point. And we've pointed out there's lots of different ways to do that at multiple different levels. Now, third thing I want to say is that as I read what these sailors did here, I do have mixed feelings. One level, I really don't want to criticize them. You know, I look at these sailors and I think, you know, I like these guys. This is human nature at its best. These guys are working men, they're sailors, mariners. This is what they do for a living. They know that this storm is a serious storm. They know they're in danger and they're afraid, but they're still doing their jobs. They're still resilient. They're still moving forward. And, you know, when Jonah does eventually, we didn't mention this particularly this time, when Jonah says, "Look, this storm is because of me, throw me overboard," they're really reluctant to do that. That's the moment when they try again to row to shore. So there's a lot of, you know, I like these guys. You know, I'd love to travel with them. That would be okay with me. Human nature at its best. And so when they throw the cargo overboard, you know, that's a costly act. They didn't do that lightly. You know, their job is to transport the cargo. The cargo obviously has value. It shows that they appreciate the seriousness of their situation. You know, they're wide awake to the storm. And their reasoning is sound. They're using their minds. We've got to lighten the ship. Verse 5, so let's jettison the cargo. That's a sacrifice, but it's necessary because our lives are in danger. You know, acknowledge at least these guys are thinking at the right level. They're considering at the right level. You know, we need to think at the right level. We need to consider at the right level. Your life is not a game. There is death, there is judgment, there is heaven, there is hell. And we must be ready. And you've got to get ready for that now. It's too late when the end comes. So these guys, they're on it. And in verse 13, they don't want to throw Jonah overboard. They value this man's life. And so they row to shore. You know, they are taking responsibility for themselves. They're trying to do the right thing. And you know, there are many people in life who never rise that high. Many of us, we just cling to our idols and go down with the ship. So these sailors are impressive, and we could learn a lot. So at one level, I don't want to criticize them. Human nature at its best. But, I've got to say, we've got to say, that human nature at its best is not enough. Human nature at its best is just not enough. You see, for all of their throwing stuff overboard and for all of their rowing, they don't get anywhere. Look at verse 13. It says, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not. That's our great problem, isn't it? We try to sort out our lives. We try to change this. We try to do that. We try to alter the other. We embrace this new thing. We avoid that old thing. We try to reinvent our lives. We do our best to row back to shore, but we cannot. You know, maybe you work for years to achieve something and you think this thing will solve the problem, will calm the storm, and you achieve it. And you go home that day thinking, well, finally, at last, I'm going to be whole. Finally, at last, life is going to be okay. And then you wake up the next morning and you're still on the boat and you're still in the storm and the ship is still breaking up and nothing's changed. See, they could not. They tried to row to shore, but they could not. And then the verse goes on even worse. It says the sea grew even wilder than before. Now, there's a real dose of realism for us there. You know, we feel that we've had storms in our lives. We feel that life has been hard and difficult, and nobody's going to argue with you. Nobody knows better than you than the storms you have in life. But the Bible does say, and it's my job to say time and time again, that the biggest storms are yet to come. You think life's been stormy now. You wait till death really comes to stalk you. You wait till that day dawns. You wait till you stand before God unforgiven, in judgment. You wait till hell itself. You see, the storms grow even wilder than before. There's a need to just recognize that. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. We come up with our plans. We have our resilience. We abandon this old thing. We embrace this new thing. We jettison the load. We double down and work harder. We try to sort our lives out. But human nature isn't enough. We haven't got it in us. Now, I wonder if you've ever come to that moment where you recognize, you understood, the storm's too big and I'm too small. I haven't got it in me. It's a crucial moment. And you know, when you come to the Bible, it's worse than that. It's not just that we're small, it's that we are sinful. So we're not just up against a storm that's bigger than us. We're up against the wrath of God, who is holy. We're up against the power of sin, which controls us. We're in the grip of Satan and vulnerable to his influence. And we're heading for the ultimate storm of death and judgment. What I'm trying to say is this. We cannot be the solution to the storm, because we are the cause of the storm. We are the problem. And no amount of streamlining, no amount of reforming, no amount of reinventing is ever going to still the storm. Never. Okay, that leads me to the fourth thing, which I want to hasten on to. And we've said this is natural. We've said there's many ways to try and sort out our problems at different levels. We all try them at different times. We've said you know, I've got mixed feelings about it. At one level, okay, that's a good thing, but it's never enough. And if you just spend your life spending all your energy trying to fix it yourself, you're going to go down with the ship. You're going to be destroyed in the ultimate storm. So fourthly now, let's come to the punchline where everything's been building to this morning. And the punchline is obvious. Here we are in the ultimate storm, the storm of life, the storm of death, the storm of judgment. Well, the obvious thing is this. Only the Creator can command the wind and the waves. Only the Creator can still the storm. So when you've come to the key moment of realizing you can't sort it out yourself, you must move as fast as possible to another key moment, which is the realization that God can and that God will, and that He's available to us. You know, that's a key moment, because when a person starts to get that, they start looking up, they start looking for God. And you know, it's a moment really when the Bible starts to come alive, when we start to read it in a different way, with new eyes, start looking for real help here, start looking for promises from God that we could apply to ourselves, start thinking, well, okay, what is this sin, and how is this sin forgiven, and who is Jesus, and why does Jesus matter, and what's the cross about? And we start reading, and we start thinking, and we try to put the pieces together, we begin to put the pieces together, that God has sent His Son into the world, and not just to show us what God is like, but to save us from our sins, to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And we begin to realize the Bible has this amazing message. Yes, what God has done, but also this amazing message that we can have Him. We can have Him. You know, even the book of Jonah is teaching us that. That's its ultimate message. You know, what is God doing with Jonah? Well, his whole goal is to send Jonah to Nineveh, which was a wicked place and was in danger of judgment. And God is sending Jonah to Nineveh so that Nineveh can be saved. Because God has no desire to destroy Nineveh. He has every desire to save Nineveh. And we need to say that to one another today. God has no desire to see us destroyed in the storms of life. He has every desire to save us from those storms. So in the Old Testament, God sends Jonah. But you know, in the New Testament, God does something bigger. In the New Testament, God comes Himself. That's the great punchline of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God is sending Jonahs and Isaiahs and Ezekiels and Elijahs and Elishas. God's sending prophets with their messages. God is sending prophet after prophet after prophet. And some people listen, some people don't. But you know, you step into the New Testament and you find that God has a bigger plan than sending a Jonah or an Isaiah or an Ezekiel. God's plan has always been that when the time is right, when everything's ready, I'm going to come myself. And I'm going to sort it out once and for all and once and forever. And that is what the Bible's all about. That is what the New Testament's all about. That is what Christmas is all about. Because that is who Jesus is. How long since that blew you away? That is who Jesus is. God Almighty. Incarnate, made flesh, still God, and yet taking to Himself a real human nature in order to rescue us, in order to redeem us, in order to save us. So, as we come to a conclusion here, this is where we need to get to. In the storms of life, it's not self-help you need. You need to recognize you can't help yourself, and nobody else on earth can help you. You need help from above. You need God Himself to come down into this world, and you need God Himself to come into your life. This is how it works. That's what being a Christian is. It's having God Himself come into your life. And I see the great thing about Jesus is that He is the Creator. And as we read earlier in Mark 4, He commands the winds and the waves. Here was Jonah in a storm. In the end, being thrown overboard, nothing can calm the storm except his apparent destruction. But step into the New Testament, and instead of a Jonah, we've got Jesus himself in a storm. And he's in a boat with his disciples. And how is that storm going to be stilled? Well, it's got to be my favorite Bible story. Jesus, he's asleep. Just like Jonah was asleep. They wake Jesus and they say, just like the captain said to Jonah, don't you care if we drown? And what did Jesus say? He said to them, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. You see, that's our problem. Our faith is in the wrong thing. It's in ourselves. It's in our reforms. It's in our reinventing. It's in our trying this, trying that, chucking this overboard, embracing that, getting rid of the other. Our faith is too small, and it's in the wrong thing. He says, oh, you of little faith. And he stands, and he commands the winds and the waves. And they are still. See, the message of the Bible is at the center, put Jesus at the helm. Here is God come to save us. Think of the power that's there. Imagine your life with Christ at the helm, with that unlimited power at the helm. Imagine that. You need him on the ship. That's the message of the book of Jonah. That's the message of the whole Bible. That's my message today. You need him on the ship. You can't do this on your own. You can't row to shore. You can't jettison enough in order to stay afloat. Your idols can't save you. You need Jesus on the ship. Call to him. But you know, you put Jesus in the ship. It's not just power you're bringing in. It's also love. Yeah, and we really need to get this. It's not just power, it's also love. You see, Jesus, as the creator, he can command the wind and the waves. But as savior, he did much more than that. And this is crucial to understand. Actually, the power of God is not enough to save us. It takes the love of God to save us. So how does Jesus save us in the storm? Well, not just by commanding the storm, but by taking the storm. So Jesus, you follow the story of his life, born in Bethlehem, dies on a cross. You follow his life, you see him walking through life, man of sorrows, they called him, despised, rejected. His whole life was a storm. And as he gets older, as he goes on in his ministry, in his life, you find him going on into the darkness of rejection and betrayal and into the hurricane of the cross until finally his life comes to an end as he is destroyed, as his very humanity is broken up under the storm of the wrath of God. That's how he calms the storm. That's how he saves us. It's not just his power, but it's the fact that in his love, he took the storm that will destroy us upon himself. The storm of God's wrath, and he paid the price for our sins. You need him on the ship. You need him on the ship. He can keep you in the storm. He can still the storm. And one day he will end all the storms. So let me finish just with the question. Let's try and get personal here. Have you seen him today at all? Or just some bloke up the front waving his arms? Or just a funny building with some dodgy carols? Is that all you've seen? Or have you seen Christ today? Have you seen him as he rescued these sailors? Have you seen him as he rescued Jonah? Have you seen him as he rescues Nineveh? Have you seen him as he rescues Mary and Joseph and Peter and John and Paul? And have you dropped that you need rescuing. You cannot rescue yourself. Nobody else can rescue you. But he's right here, mighty to save. Mighty to save. Would you ask him to? Do you ever talk to him? Why would you not? Have you ever asked him? Could you begin to talk? Could you stop crying out to the idols? Stop trying to reinvent yourself? Stop trying to row to shore? Could you just, like the psalm says, could you just be still and know that he is God? Could you entrust yourself to him? Because he'll not drop you. He'll not let you sink. He'll not let you drown. He'll keep you safe. Through life, whatever storms come, through death, through judgment, and then into eternity. Safe. That's what this is all about. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what the Bible is all about. It's got to be what our lives are all about. How terrible to be on the outside of all of this. To know there is a Savior, but not to know that he's your Savior. What a terrible place to be. To be in a storm knowing that Jesus could be with you. Calming the storm maybe, or at least keeping you in the storm. And that ultimately he'll bring you through all life's storms. How awful to know that he's there, but he's not with you. Well, you've got to do business with him. You've got to talk to him. You've got to repent. You've got to believe. You've got to seek him. That's where my job finishes. I can't do any more. This is where the Holy Spirit of God works. You say to me, I don't know if I to somebody here, or better still, or as well, talk to God himself and ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. He is given to us to help us see it, to help us to believe. Okay, let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, please speak into our lives. Help us to see what you're saying to us, not just in this book of Jonah, but throughout the whole of the Bible and through the whole of the Christian faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.